day.
Welcome to a brand new edition of America Tonight as we kick off a new week in August. Many of you are sending children back to school. Maybe your kids are grown and you got grandkids that are going back to school. I know this is an audience that definitely ranges in ages and interests. Sadly, one thing that we can all relate to is a terrible tragedy that's unforeseen. You're going to the state fair, you're taking your family, and they're all excited because they get a chance to hear one of their favorite groups. And like anything else in life, we can't control things that are out of our control. One of the things that happened over the weekend, probably one of the saddest things, is at the Indiana State Fair, a stage collapsed. Some of the riggings from the stage, to be exact, fell on people that were there. It just didn't tip over. What happened was the weather. There was a strange weather pattern and a wind that the gust of wind was so strong that happened. Didn't touch anything else, the buildings, et cetera, roofs, any of that at the state fair, but hit this particular stage of just a freak thing. And you had all these people in the front, 40 people injured, 5 people dead so far, and just absolute pandemonium. That's what I would describe it as. I've seen now some video on this. I've seen pictures of this, and there are no words to describe seeing those kids flattened by the stage. And I think everybody with a heavy heart, they closed the fair on Sunday, and everybody has pretty much a heavy heart over all of this, from the governor on down, who could barely speak when he was talking about it to people connected with it. Here's one of the sergeants on the scene saying that, some of the details of the scaffolding and whatnot and actually what happened here. Here's Sergeant Burston talking about the incident itself.
Virtually throughout the rest of the fairgrounds, the Midway particularly, there were no damages to structures there, which is continuing to lead us to believe this was an isolated, significant wind gust that resulted in what occurred. Is there a chance that other people could pass away? That possibility is there, and that's why we're asking for everybody to give their thoughts and prayers to everybody that's being treated right now.
Yeah, and it just looked like this blue canvas top was flapping, and then the steel, and that's the part, the steel scaffolding just gave way, and the bank of stage lights, and you've seen them, I'm sure, if you've been to concert, any concerts, you know what I'm talking about, and all that metal flew out on to the fans that were closest to any of that stage area in the front. Sugarland was the group they were going to see. It's a country duo out of Atlanta. I think one of the tweets that they had said it best, "We're stunned and heartbroken for our fans." They didn't do that performance, and they also canceled a night at the Iowa State Fair on Sunday. And the people in Indiana are just trying to deal with what happened here in the pandemonium. And the aftermath is, could they have gotten them out? They were looking at bad weather. Should they have evacuated sooner? Well, of course, if they had evacuated sooner. And you had big crowds. 15,000 people can fit in that particular area. Here's one young woman, you can tell she was frightened and shook up by it, who narrowly escaped injury herself.
I just saw people running, and people, next thing you know, you look back, and there's people underneath the stage trying to get out. Knocked me down, and people, were trying to move and, running.
Yeah, I mean, that you're a teenager, and that happens to you, and you're still in that stage of life where you think you're invincible, and there were a lot of people that were in that stage of life when they saw that happen to others, including a stagehand who was just immediately killed when everything fell apart. So awful, awful, awful news there. The other big thing in the weekend in the Midwest, as a matter of fact, in Iowa, was the straw poll, the Ames straw poll and what some people think is not a big deal, others think is a big deal. The bottom line is Michelle Bachmann won it. And a close second was Ron Paul. Now you also have, while that's going on, Rick Perry throwing in his name officially for the race for the president on the Republican side. And when you hear all three of those names, who do you give the best chance to emerge from that group? Does it come down to a battle between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, the current governor of Texas? Does it come down to a battle between those two? Does it come down to Bachmann and Romney? Does it come down to somebody that we haven't even mentioned yet? Plenty drops out of this thing because he realizes, I think because he realizes he has no chance, and what are they going to just throw more money against the wind here? But he wants to run for Senate as well. And I think after New Hampshire and the whole fundraising thing and realizing it and where he was finishing in the polls, it made sense no matter what, for I think, for him to step aside. And when he grabbed the microphone to say he wasn't going to do it, immediately the first person he thanked or congratulated was Bachmann on her win and said, you know, we need to show progress. We did, but, you know, he's not interested in staying in this. He said there, it doesn't exist to move forward. There's no paths. We're going to end the campaign. He finished a third in the poll, by the way, well behind Bachmann and Texas Congressman Ron Paul. And he was asked many, many, many times, would he consider being the VP? Don't you love that? Oh, it's so brutal. It's like, and it's a natural question to ask somebody, but you want the top position. It's like honorable mention in a way to me. When you don't win the top prize at whatever it is you're doing, and then you get this cheesy honorable mention. Nobody wants to come in second. Nobody wants that, oh yeah, what about this spot? Not that there's something wrong with being the vice president. Not that it's not a great gig. Not that we don't need a vice president. But when you're in the thick of the race and you really think, and the people around you have been building up your ego, and you really think you have a chance at being president, you don't want to be asked if you would consider being vice president. No! I wanted to be president! It didn't work out. That woman from the same state that I'm from beat me in the polls. So no, I don't want to be vice president. I want to be president. And then you still, by the way, have Rick Santorum, Herman Cain, Mitt Romney. They weren't, you know, Romney, same thing. Romney, of course, didn't want to be part of the Saturday deal. And as I said, Bachmann got the most votes and Paul was second and Santorum was after that and Cain was after that and Romney did get some votes, but wasn't part of this. He wasn't pushing for this, wasn't working on this. In fact, Romney and the former Utah Governor John Huntsman skipped the whole thing. Huntsman's avoiding the caucuses completely in Iowa, while Romney's people are watching the state and could come back into Iowa in the next couple of months if they think there's an opening for them, a lane to pursue, in other words. We're pursuing all kinds of things in this hour, including We Can Count, but next, some odds and ends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 12th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1752.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1795.91, $897.96 for a half ounce, and $448.98 for a quarter ounce. That's $1795.91, $897.96, or $448.98.
The Constitution and Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore and trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic group quarter ounce pure gold coin. For only $480 plus shipping and handling, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Wide wonder at the joy they have found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Some more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey.
Time for Lou Ogden Ends here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Every single time I think about politics and how nasty and really divisive it's become. No more of that chitter-chatter between people who could be left of left and right of right. I really do hope in your backyards that can still happen. Because you can disagree with the ideology of your neighbor, your buddies, whatever. But for goodness sake, we're all Americans, and that's the shame of it if it's that ugly. That's crazy, man. So when I say we live in the greatest country in the face of the earth, we do because we can express ourselves where in other countries, like Hugo the Butcher Chavez, despite popular belief that he's such a fabulous man from so many of those in Hollywood, he is the butcher for a reason. Trust me, there are things going on in Venezuela that you can't even mention on the air. And then I've said this before, but think of communist countries. Think of state-run media. So for all the griping a lot of people do, even with what we call mainstream media, at least we have media where they're not pumping the same thing out. Now, I know somebody could call me right now and say, well, wait a second, what's CNN pumping out? What's Fox pumping out? Because everybody believes that there is a political agenda attached. And you know what? Perhaps there is, and with some of these assignment editors and producers, executive producers, and people who are in charge of the content, because that's what it's about. Who's in charge of the content And are they really being objective? But regardless, we still have a free media. That's the key. Free. A couple of things that are sad and odds and ends. Why am I going to... It's like everything for this show, and I apologize, is so heavy. But, you know, I have this fascination with sharks and the fact that you just come off of Shark Week and you watch and people say, and I'm going to let you hear what a guy, Don West, had to say about sharks. But you've got these shark things popping up now all over the place. And, in fact, they say no more night swimming in Chatham, Massachusetts, because there, you know, there's not lifeguards on the beach and whatever. But the real problem is that you had somebody out there, and this is where they made the movie Jaws, by the way, and they're starting to see fins. They're starting to see sharks. So what I don't understand in Florida is this weird tolerance for sharks. And when I say weird, because surfers, I was watching something about surfers that would go out even though there would be a ring of reef sharks not too far behind them, and they'd get bit on the ankle. You know, they just get bit on the ankle. They'd get patched up and they'd go back out again. Are you kidding? I don't get that. So they've got in Massachusetts, they have a swim ban because of the sharks. And in North Carolina, they had somebody killed because of a shark attack. And, you know, here he was out in the water doing that swimming, surfing, paddleboarding thing. And the timing was bad because, you know, suddenly there's a predator shark that you're in his space, or the fact that you look like a seal on that board is the thing. And that's not going to stop surfers. If you surf, you surf and you paddle out. That's what you do. So what's the solution to that? And then you have scientists saying, oh, it's, still, if you think of the population, there aren't that many attacks. But we just had the little girl who was bitten, and she was in 18 inches of water, and that was in the Carolinas. And now you have another incident. Here's what Don White had to say about the North Carolina shark attack. Well, we don't have Don White yet, but we'll get him next time around. He talked about once you see those fins, once those fins come into play, you have got to get those kids out of the water. And you've got the 5-year-old who was in critical condition after an attack in North Carolina. And I'm wondering what's happening in those waters. If it's, you know, if now if this is something new, or, you know, what's happening there. And they've got I looked at a list of, you know, unprovoked shark attacks in the United States, and I'll tell you, a bunch of them happened in North Carolina. All right, here's Don West talking about Moorhead City, the waters off there.
All of a sudden, I felt a big strike. Something very powerful hit me in the bottom of the foot, and I looked at Jay. I said, "Jay, I think I've been hit. I think it's a shark. Get these kids out of the water."
Yeah, and he's talking about that same feeling, sadly, where you had the South Carolina guy that was hospitalized after being bit by that bull shark, and those bull sharks rather are dangerous. In that case, that was 13 miles off of Beaufort Inlet. And, boy, it's just, you know, the wrong place, the wrong time. Here he was on a fishing trip, and he decided to go for a swim before returning to the shore. So it was, he was there. and it was his lower right leg that was bit. There were other people that were on the boat that used T-shirts, towels, anything to make a bandage while they headed toward the shore to get him to the hospital, because you think of the teeth, the serrated teeth of the sharks and what that could do to you. And oh, this was all just swimming before going to shore, certainly not thinking that, you know, that he's going to get hit. And he's probably lucky, and I say lucky, that that was all that happened there, because it could have been that much worse. And bull sharks are incredibly deadly if you happen to be in their way, and that was the case where he was. All right, so we're talking about odds and ends, and the Lexington guy comes up, and then the situation with no swimming in Massachusetts because they've seen fins and they're concerned, and they think a couple people might have been nipped because they complained that something happened, but they were almost like brushed against, so there weren't teeth marks or things that would imply for sure it was a shark, but they definitely have banned swimming. And the main thing is they tell people do not swim in the morning, don't swim at night, because that's when they come out to feed. So why would you take the chance? Of course, you wouldn't take the chance. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, right? Huh. All right, we got to give you a good one. We have to give you a daily salute and odds and ends. And there are plenty of great things going on, rescues, people surviving things. My goodness, there are people in Indiana that survived that stage collapsing, and so they could make the list, you know, just getting out in the nick of time, somebody grabbing them, whatever. There's another story of a teenager who was in Chaco Canyon in New Hampshire, and it looked like he was falling over the cliff. In fact, he was, and somehow one of his buddies, two of his buddies actually, reached out and, no joke, grabbed him almost, not, I don't want to say midair, but where he started to go back, and I'm sure saved him from a 70-foot to 100-foot drop, where I can't imagine, as having been there, that he would have survived that. I seriously doubt that. So that fits here in odds and ends. An odd way to end the weekend, but surviving and going on to thrive is a very good thing. All right, coming up, we've got We Can Count.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Congratulations to our friends at eFoodsDirect.com. In August, they celebrate 30 years in the long-term storable food business. To celebrate, eFoodsDirect.com is offering the lowest price ever on their one-year Freedom Food Supply, even less than the price in 1981. For a limited time, you get 30% off a one-year Freedom Supply, which provides three hearty meals per day for one adult. The Freedom Supply includes a large variety of fruits and vegetables, dairy, legumes, grains, sprouting seeds, and more. Plus, you get a generous supply supply of their quick fix meals. This is the most complete, extensive, and affordable unit they have ever offered. Call 800-409-5633 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get 30% off a one-year food supply. If you have ever considered getting a supply, now is the time. Call 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. Oh, what a day it was for one youngster. I say youngster because he's been tearing it up lately. Keegan Bradley beat Jason Duffner in a three-hole playoff. He wins the USGA, or the USPGA, rather, championship in Atlanta. I happen to watch that playoff part of that. 25 years old, kid from Vermont, one under par over the 16th, 17th, and 18th holes at the Atlanta Athletic Club. So he wins his first major title. He's the seventh first-time major winner in a row. That's a record. And he, by the way, is the first player from the U.S. since Phil Mickelson at the Masters in 2010 to put his hands on one of golf's majors. It's interesting because I watched him play while he was at a tournament stop in Dallas, Texas. He played at the Byron Nelson and won that championship back in May. So that's huge. That's a major and another win on tour. So that would be considered a very good year. His aunt is a former LPGA pro. Her name is Pat Bradley, and his father was a teaching pro, so the kid has it in his genes, you have to say. But how cool is that? Seventh first-time major winner in a row. That's got to be sweet for him, and certainly it's sweet for the world of golf. If you're like me, and if you like sports at all, sports is about records. So we like to see what's happening as far as how many, how long, who was the last, all that kind of stuff. And that fits right in there. Who knows when the string gets broken? Maybe next time around. Right, we're mixing in the bad with the good, and that means with numbers, there are a few things that we haven't told you about yet, including a Greyhound bus that flipped over in Pennsylvania on Saturday. 14 people were injured. Here's the good news. None of them seriously. None of them seriously. So 4 were even uninjured, and they were able to continue on their trips, taking the bus to other places. The bus started in New York. They're going to St. Louis. The bus was on the Philadelphia to Columbus, Ohio leg of the trip when the accident happened. Seems like, and maybe this is just me, we've had a bunch of buses turning over, and I don't know if it's, I'm not saying it's Greyhound. I don't think they were all Greyhound buses, but we seem to have a little bit of a rash of that. And I think of those turns. Have you ever been near a bus where you think, oh, it's going to slam into me? I think of some of the crazy ways they have to maneuver those buses, which might not even have anything to do with this crash, you know, this how this bus flipped over. But the good news is that nobody was killed in this, and nobody beyond seriously injured. So nobody was hospitalized as a result of that, and that's great. Because if you look at the top of it, it almost looks like a can over kind of peeled it back a little bit. Kind of peeled back the top of it. So if I were to see that in a parking lot, I might think, ugh, that probably spells not such great news for the people that were inside that bus. Crazy thing about the mascots in some of these college campuses that are causing concern. A lot of Indian tribes have gotten upset over the years of the portrayal of various Indian tribes as mascots, the Florida State Seminoles with the Indian that they have that rides out on horseback upset a lot of Cherokees and others. Now, the University of North Dakota might retire its nickname and its mascot, but changing a 90-year-old Native American moniker, the Fighting Sioux, has had some complications. The school has a Monday deadline, which is upon us, to comply with the NCAA's policy on mascots deemed hostile or abusive toward Native Americans, because that's what they stuck in there. And the school is trying to come up with a new name and a mascot. They were doing that until the North Dakota lawmakers passed a law ordering them to stop. So they're in a weird space because the law is saying, no, stop this nonsense. And the NCAA is saying, you better do something about this, because if you don't change the Fighting Sioux nickname, we're going to sanction you, and you might not be able to host any championships, and there might be a ban on your logo or nickname at any championship event. But it is a law. I looked it up. House Bill 1263. It's in there. I think the school doesn't do it. I don't know. I think the school might not do anything, because how do they resolve that? They can meet with the NCAA, but yet the language and the law in the state doesn't match. I know there's some people listening to this that think, oh, yeah, it's disgraceful and it shouldn't be there. Is that seem abusive? I don't know. I'm curious. I want anybody who's listening to me right now to send me an email if they feel that it's abusive and wrong with these Native American mascots, and that you've got these 20 schools whose nicknames and mascots refer to them, and they were called abusive, and they're saying, you know, get rid of the nicknames, change them. It's like Oklahoma State. They were the Savages, southeastern Oklahoma State, right? So now they're the Savage Storm. But then you have Bradley University, and they're the Braves. But because it's not a specific tribe, they were allowed to keep theirs. So there were a couple that could do it. I mentioned the Florida State Seminoles. You've got the University of Utah Utes and the Central Michigan University Chippewas. And they got permission from the tribes, their namesakes tribes, to just keep the name. I don't think they're going to be so lucky there. I think the Fighting Sioux, they have to keep meeting with the NCAA and have to plead, because I don't think they're going to get any kind of a reprieve there, if you know what I mean. With the word fighting and everything, I think there's not going to be any back down there, so they'll probably end up changing it. What could they change it to? The non-fighting Sioux, the lemons. And, you know, that's the problem. The problem is, not to belabor this point, but when you've had this mascot for so long and it's embedded in the alumni and it's something that is, you're not even thinking anything to do with the tribe. You're not thinking that, oh, this is ethnic blasting and this is, you know, bad and this is just terrible. That's just not the way the alumni base certainly is thinking. It's just the nickname. It's just the nickname that they had. I think that's why some of those tribes said, you know, when they met with them, I think some of the tribes said, yeah, that's okay, because they understand that, and they're not offended by it. But then I guess others might be, and that's probably why they're leaning on them hard to change it, so that they're not slamming the Sioux or implying that, you know, they were scalpers or, you know, whatever. Of course, the problem is that's the thing. You're saying that they're strong and they're warriors, and that's exactly what they're saying. This is a weird deal. I go to the aquarium, and they've got these two bat exhibits where you have the black light on, and the bats, seems like there's hundreds of them, and you see them stuck on the ceiling. And it's kind of fascinating to watch these creatures, how berserk they go under these black lights. I just found out that in 2010, there was a 2010 death. It was the first known case of vampire bat virus. And they just reported this for, like, human rabies. And what happened was a 19-year-old worker was hospitalized in Louisiana with inflammation of the brain. Can you imagine? He had developed this symptoms at the end of July of last year after he came from Mexico, and he was working on a sugar plantation in Louisiana. He had fatigue and left shoulder pain and left numb, his left hand was numb and all that stuff. And they figured it was exertion, but the symptoms continued, so they sent him to a hospital, and sure enough, it was a vampire deal. And, you know, basically it attacked his nervous system, and he really went downhill fast. They did a bunch of testing, and it revealed that he had vampire bat rabies. Ugh! And it makes sense, because then once they trace it back, his mother said he had been bitten by a bat in Mexico, but he didn't get any treatment. And this is the first death from a vampire bat rabies virus in the U.S. How about that? Mostly, the bat rabies virus, you're not hearing about that in the United States. So this is the first one. In fact, since 2000, I find these numbers interesting. 8 of the 32 human rabies cases reported in the U.S. were from exposure, required from basically exposure abroad. Two of them from Mexico. So there is definitely something to Mexico and the vampire bats, because that's the bat that got him, the vampire bat virus, was taken over to the United States. All right, we're heading for the exits next with a couple of quick surprises. Stay with us.
A few bottles of Heart and Body Extract, and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter, was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
And we're back here on America Tonight, just like that, abracadabra. In thinking about that, it's interesting. We talked about in odds and ends, Bradley winning in a PGA playoff where you played three holes, and how he just, I didn't even describe this, but how he just ate up the tail end of that tournament. I said I had some surprises. I wanted to tell everybody about this. I used to, in the mix of everything, of course, politics is my passion, politics, and you'd mix in sports probably and business and whatnot. I wanted to tell everybody that I have a book that is dropping on Amazon this week. It's called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS. If you went to the website right now, you could see it through the miracle of Pal Talk, a copy of that book. And I know it's kind of gotten out there, and some people are asking me how you can get it. So you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual suspects. Go to those places if you're interested. And what it is it's a snippet, a snapshot of our sports shorts. It's talking about all kinds of sports across the board with some really crazy, interesting facts. That's the kind of read it is. It's one where you're kicking back on the fishing boat, you're coming back in, you flip it open, and you're reading some of the stuff in there. You can just read the little chapters at a time where you're not being hit over the head with some crazy novel that's 400 or 500 pages. I can't believe they actually have novels that are 400 or 500 pages, but trust me, I've seen them. So that's one of the things I wanted to mention. Also, later in the week, we have a big giveaway, $13 million pop. No, we're not giving away $13 million, but we're giving away the book, and it really is a good book. I had a chance to read it over the weekend, and it's a great, like, crime thriller, I think is the best way to describe it. So you have a chance on Wednesday to win a copy of that book. How about that? You never know what you're going to get when you tune into America Tonight. All right, speaking of tuning into America Tonight for you don't know what you're going to get, I am definitely a beef lover. Ooh, I like my hamburgers, although I try to cut them down how much I eat in a month, but let's say maybe I have two hamburgers a month or something. There's a national beef recall going on. 60,000 plus pounds of ground beef. They're looking at it for E. coli. The U.S. Department of Agriculture and the National Beef Packing Company is issuing the recall. What happens is inspection at an Ohio processing plant, there were suspicious possible contaminations of E. coli. So the company is based in Dodge City, Kansas. They haven't had any problems of illness, consumption of it, any of that kind of stuff. But this beef is shipped to all kinds of stores. So you're part of that recall, Jacksonville, Florida. If you go to Winn-Dixie, if you go to a lot of the stores in Florida or Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, they had beef sell dates of July 31st to August 12th. Also, Sam's Club is contacting people because they're part of the recall, too. Boy, I hear these recalls, and the reason I gave you that information is because I think a lot of people, and I have to say, I guarantee I've been one of them. If I'm listening, you say, oh, there's a recall, and it's blah, 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 blah. I guess sometimes like you get lost in, well, where's the recall? Because you're following the thread of the story. Oh, where do you trace it back to? And I hope that any of you listening, I hope this helps somebody. When you go in your freezer, check out the dates. If you went shopping in the last couple of weeks, you might have picked up a package of it. I don't know, but you want to be careful with that because you definitely don't want to come down with any kind of crazy E. coli. If you've ever heard us talk about that, what a horrible thing it is to ravage you with it. Sometimes people don't survive it, and other things can happen to them as well. And you don't want to be one of those people that you think I'm strong. It's not going to happen to me. And then all of a sudden you're down for the count, and that's what you have. Ooh, that would scare me more than you can imagine. Finding out that, trying to combat that. And it's a tough battle no matter what shape you're in. Even the best of the best that have been in great shape have had trouble with E. coli, of course. Just awful. Absolutely awful. All right, a couple of other things worth sticking in here as we, head for our cars. One of them is this story. Besides the beef that I happened to see and talk to somebody in Norway about. But, we were talking about the killing that happened. Now it's been actually a little more than a couple of weeks, but the police took Andras Breivik back to the island for a hearing on the July 22nd terror attacks. You believe it's been that long? Breivik shot the victims dead on the lake island, not too far from Oslo, just after killing another eight people in the capital with a bomb. And the 32-year-old described his killing in very close detail, I guess, after an eight-hour tour on the island. And he was very unemotional. I think this is one of these guys that just has no show of emotion whatsoever. So they had the hearing that took place at a security operation aimed that he would avoid trying to escape, and it would protect him against somebody that wanted to take him out. Smart move, I think. He would get about 21 years in prison if convicted on terrorism charges, but they're looking for an alternate custody arrangement. If he is still considered a danger to the public, it could keep him behind bars indefinitely, and that would probably be the best case scenario if they could do that with him after what happened in Norway and just really rocked their worlds and changed their way of life. And I think in some cases, for fear of their life, for fear of some kind of retribution or whatever. So onward we move, huh? Also, something that I think has caught a lot of people's attention is this fair or foul when you've got this flash mob mentality in a city like Philadelphia? The mayor is ordering that there be a 9 o'clock curfew. Can you imagine, teenagers, 9 o'clock curfew because they're having all these, it's like a wilding. They're having all these fights and crazy things break out across the city. These flash mobs, really, is what they're called. And the mayor thinks this is the best way for him to control it. It sends a message out to the people and that they're not messing around anymore. So I hope it works, because they're really terrorizing some people who have no choice but to work certain hours or whatever, and they're right in the thick of this. If you figure if they do a 9 o'clock curfew, although it is a little creepy, I think it's kind of creepy, the 9 o'clock curfew thing, and you have a son that's 17, or you can think of the scenarios. I don't have to connect all those dots for you, but flash mobs, ooh, not a good thing.
Worse? How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell.
It's crazy.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.